All right, this morning, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to the 12th chapter of Matthew, and we've studied past verse 33. In fact, we're right up to the beginning of chapter 13. But there are some things that are sadly neglected under the canopy of Christianity. And you would think that people would read with discernment, especially saved people, because we're indwelled by the Holy Spirit of God. But so many people, when they read about the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they never ever put together what the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was. Well, it was a tree of the knowledge of good and evil by definition. What is a knowledge of good and evil? It's morality, isn't it? You know, all of the religious systems of the world, the devil started all of them, except biblical Christianity. You know, and he started them when he planted the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the Garden of Eden. You say, how do you, didn't it say that God created everything? Yes, it does. But we have to understand that Scripture has to fit together with Scripture. And was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil a temptation to Eve?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. The Scripture says God can't be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. So that tells us right there that God did not plant the tree of the knowledge of good and evil next to the tree of life. The devil put it there. And we learn that actually later on in Matthew, when we're studying about the, the Lord sowed wheat in his field, but while men slept, what happened? The enemy came. Well, who is the enemy? The enemy is the devil. No. An enemy came and sowed tares in the field. So we have wheat and tares planted in the same field. What's the field represent?
The
field represents the world. And so when we read the parables of our Lord and we talk about different things, we have to take, he used language that we understand to teach us things that we don't understand. And naturally speaking, no one understands the things of God. Why? Because the Scripture says the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them. Why? Because they're spiritually discerned. And when Adam ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the whole human family died in Adam. So when we're born into this world, we're born what?
Yes.
Dead in trespasses and in sin. So we start putting some of these things together. And if we're born dead in trespasses and sin, then that means, people are always trying to encourage people to read the Bible. No. Well, if you take an unsaved person, picks up the Bible and reads it, he's going to get the wrong impression. He's going to get the impression that all of the religions of the world get. Even though he's reading the Word of God, he is spiritually dead, so he can't understand spiritual truth. So what is the idea that he's getting? Well, we had two trees there, and they ate of that, and they were put out of the garden. But what is man's knowledge of good and evil? By definition, what is morality? Morality is man's knowledge of good and evil, what he thinks, and it varies with the various religions of the world, but there are many things the same. It's his perception of right and wrong. Now, what is the average person's perception of how do you get to heaven? Well, if the good that I do outweighs the bad that I do, I'll go to heaven. Is that true? No. No. We have to be born again. We have to be created anew. And the scripture says of us, when Adam ate of that tree, we ate of it. Therefore, as in Adam, all do what?
All die.
All die. So in Christ, what?
All
who are in Christ. Not all, every single person, but everyone who's in Christ. How do you become in Christ? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And by the foolishness. Why is it foolish? Because it teaches something that's absolutely contrary to what man thinks. Man thinks naturally, according to his knowledge of good and evil. Where did he get that? He got it by eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He wasn't created with that. He was created in the image of God, and his knowledge of good was a proper knowledge of good. But when Eve was deceived into eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, she was deceived into believing that she could be like God. She didn't think about the fact she was already in the image of God. Adam was created in the image of God, and Eve was created from a rib from Adam's side. So the first woman came from man. And Paul talks about this over in the book of Corinthians. The first woman came from man, but after that, all men and women, it's the union between a man and a woman that produces a child. But the first man was produced how? God created him. And Adam is the federal head. Adam was created first. And we read in Genesis about the fact that, okay, it's not good for man to be alone. So you created him a help. People put the two words together. Meet means fitting. So, a help fitting for man. So she is a maid. And then to be able to produce more children, we have, of course, the marvels of birth and the sexual union and all of that type of thing. We don't have to go into any detail, but somehow or other, a man and a woman can come together in a loving relationship and produce a child. And that child is in whose image? The child's in Adam's image. Okay? I mean, we draw traits from both parents. But one thing that we don't get from our mother, and what is very important, and most people don't think about it, every drop of blood that flows in your veins came from your father. We talk about the chromosomes and this and that, and family traits and all of the different things that we get from both parents, but blood comes only from the father. That's why, in the fullness of the time, God sent forth his son, made under the law, made for what purpose? To redeem them that are under the law. Now, if sin is transmitted through blood, and Dr. DeHaan used to preach on the radio, he was a medical doctor who became an evangelist, and M.R. DeHaan. He wrote a book called The Chemistry of the Blood, and he points out, because of his medical background, that all of the blood that flows in our veins comes from our fathers. That being the case, who was the father of Jesus? God. And who was his mother? Eve. Was Eve a sinner? Yes. But she couldn't transmit her sin nature.
I said Eve.
Okay. Yeah. You never know what I'm going to say next. Anyway, Mary, Mary was a sinner. But Mary couldn't transmit her sin nature to the Lord Jesus Christ because of the medical fact that all blood comes from our Father. And, of course, the life of the flesh is in what? What is the flesh? That's what's contrary to God. So we begin to put these things together and read the scriptures and pick up the significance of these events. Then we understand why Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now, if that statement were, if Jesus was born and had a sin nature like Mary, like Adam, then he couldn't possibly be our Redeemer, because if he had the sin nature of Adam, through the blood of Adam, he would have been just as rotten as we are. And that's not possible. He's God. And he's God who became a man through the virgin birth. And that's a very important both medical fact and scriptural fact. We sometimes read over these things and don't give them the significance that they have. So, God became a man. And as man, he was born as a what? A Jew. And the Jews, when they came out of Egypt, when they were in what we would call not the Sinai Peninsula, but in Arabia, that's where Midian was. Okay? And that's where, you know, there aren't any mountains across from, on the Sinai Peninsula. You can't find a mountain with a cave across from the Mount of God. You know? But you can find that in Arabia. And then in Arabia, you can also find, of course, it's banned to us. We can't go there. You got to sneak in. But we can find rock, the rock that Moses smote. And when he smote the rock, what came forth? It gushed forth water. You've got to recognize, this wasn't a drinking fountain. Now, think about it. The Jews were probably in excess of 2 million people in the wilderness with no water. You know, how are they going to drink? You know, can they find a river large enough to supply them with fresh water? And so the people are complaining against Moses. Why did you bring us out to die in this wilderness? These are the same people that said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. What gives man the idea that he can do the things that all that God commanded? The lie of the devil. Yeah. His knowledge of good and evil. Man thinks he's good. You know. And this country is a rather interesting country. We've had more freedoms than anyone else, more liberty than anyone else, and our government's trying very hard to change us into a socialistic system so we'll be as poor as everyone else. And, you know, moving in that direction. But we have to take things as they come. And the powers that be are ordained of God. And then the scripture says about those that we elect, you know, that God raises up what kind of men?
The basis.
You know, there's not a good man or a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. So we elect presidents, we, you know, elect senators, and you know, isn't it funny how they set their own wages and they all become millionaires? Because they also write the tax laws. You know. And isn't it funny? I didn't realize this till I was talking with Eric about it. And you say, okay, how can you, you know, I think it was Bezos that paid less than 1% of income tax. Well, less than 1% for him is a lot of money, but it's not a lot of money compared to what I pay, you know, percentage-wise. The percentage of my wages, they take a bunch, you know. And since Joanne died, when Joanne was alive, we used to, we own our home, we pay property tax, we older medical bills, So you file your income tax, and you end up getting most of what you paid out back. Now that I'm single, I'm not an eligible bachelor. I'm 90 and a half years old. Anyway, but while she was alive, when we filed our taxes, we got most of the state back, most of the federal back. Well, this time I had to pay some federal, and I think I'm going to get a couple hundred dollars back from the state. Yeah. And by the way, we buy TurboTax every year, and if you want to do your taxes, come with enough time so you can get on the computer. And I'm usually here 2 hours before the service, and Marty comes around, we make a date. And I run the computer for her. Anyway, but it's just a matter of something that I've always done for the church. You can do your taxes yourself with TurboTax. Very good program, very easy to use. Okay. But getting down to this, all of a sudden that I'm footloose and fancy free, and I have one drug that fortunately Price Pfizer gives it to me free, but if I had to pay for it for 60 pills a month, it's only $500. And I'm finally, I never ever took my GI benefits except for buying a house. And going to school. But I can get my medical treatment from the federal government and all my drugs free. So what have I been doing all these years, dummy? So we're going to make a switch over here pretty quick. I've had a good personal physician and get along well with him. And my cardiologist and all of that. Yeah, I finally got them trained to do what I tell them.
Best kind of doctor.
Yeah. Well, they listen to me and they know that, I know more about what's going on with my body than anybody. And we have a good, practical, working relationship. But we need to get back to the Word of God. So we're born into this world, and the moment we're born, people don't think about it. I was watching The Renaissance Man the other night with Danny DeVito. And Danny has been an ad man in New York. And he loses a big account and gets fired. And so he asked, for the first time in his life, he asked to go to the unemployment office. And it's killing him, because he's always had a job. And so he's been standing in line for hours. Well, if you give me a check, I could cash it. But he's teaching, he gets a job at an army base teaching the soldiers how to comprehend.
The double D's. Was, dumb as, you know what. The double D's.
Yeah. The dummies. Yeah, they're called double D's. Dumber than dog. What comes out behind it? Okay? Anyway, that's very, very funny movie. And he has to make adjustment, and then he goes for another tour. Anyway, let's get back to this. There's a lot of lessons in the natural world. And what I started to talk about, Danny DeVito begins to teach these guys about Shakespeare. And one of the things is that one of the young men sees, he says that, when he was born, the Undertaker was there. And he sees the analogy. The moment you're born, you begin to do die. To do what? You begin to die. Right? And of course, they do a couple of hand slaps and all that type of thing. It's a very funny movie. Anyway, the moment we're born, we begin to die. So the most important thing for you and the most important thing for me in life is not having a big home, not having all the money we could possibly want, not being able to buy a new car every year, all of the things that man, you know, be able to vacation in Europe, be able to vacation in the South Pacific, you know, all of the things that man thinks are really important. What's important, the moment we are born, we begin to die. We need a Savior. If we die, of course, God has an age of accountability for infants and for young children. But if we die after the age of accountability, we're not going to automatically go to heaven like everybody thinks. Oh, I've been a good person, therefore I'm going to go to heaven. No. What does the scripture say? There's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. We need a Savior. God provided a Savior. And long before, you know, we need to understand the attributes of God. God is all-knowing for all time. We call that omniscience. You know, he's omnipotent. He has the power to do anything within the scope of his will. You know, he's omnipresent. He's everywhere present at once. How big is this universe? Well, however big it is, wherever you are, anywhere in this universe, God has to be able to superintend his creation. Man makes God to be less than he is. You'd think that he was some doddering old fool that doesn't remember what he said yesterday. But God knew long before Adam was created, long before the universe was created. God knew you, God knew me, and he chose us in Christ and saved our souls before we were ever born. It has to take place at a point in time. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. But in the omniscience of God, we were chosen in Christ when? Before the foundation of the world. That's pretty amazing. You know, it can't be based upon anything that we are, because God is not a respecter of persons. So when we begin to put the attributes of God together, that helps us to understand in our relationship. He knew all about me before I was saved, after I was saved. He knew every rotten thing I would ever do before I was saved, after I was saved. But it, somehow or other, in his great love for what he loved us, because of who we are, we can't live without sinning. You know, if we should say, Scripture says this of us, if we should say that we have no sin, what do?
Deceive ourselves.
We deceive ourselves, and what? The truth's not in us. So if you think about the religious world wasn't started by God. It was started by the devil. What man thinks, a way which seemeth right unto him, is the basis for all of the religions of the world. The difference between that and biblical Christianity, that is dependent upon what you do. Biblical Christianity is dependent upon what God did for you. He became a man. He fulfilled the law. He fulfilled all righteousness. And because without the shedding of blood there's no remission, he gave himself as a ransom for sin and allowed the Romans to crucify him. And then he was buried. And after 3 days and three nights, and that's, 72 hours. After 3 days and three nights, he rose from the dead. He raised himself from the dead and showed himself alive amongst his disciples on one occasion. They were terrified and affrighted when they had seen him in the upper room after some of their brethren had already seen him during the day. Sometimes it takes these old thick skulls of ours a little while to absorb what God has actually done for us in Jesus Christ. So when we talk about trees here, it's interesting that Scofield does not make a reference to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He has a little G there, and he makes a reference to Matthew 7:17 and 18 and Luke 6:43 and 44, but he doesn't make a reference to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The reference that Christ is making is to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Everything religiously in this world came from one source, the devil. Everything that we would call biblical Christianity, the vicarious sacrifice of Jesus Christ, came from God. So he says, make the tree good and its fruit good. The Jews were steeped in the law. They said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. Now, if you go back and read the account of Moses bringing the judgments on the 10 false gods of Egypt, and finally on the firstborn, what did the Jews do every time the burden was increased by Pharaoh? They moaned, they groaned, they complained. They said, Moses, would you just shut up? It was much better before. But what the Lord was doing was judging the false gods, because there's no God but one, the true and living God. And then when he brought them out of the land of Egypt, he gave them the opportunity once they crossed the Red Sea and were at the base of Mount Sinai. He verbally gave them the law, and what did they say? All that the Lord has spoken, we will do. Where did they get the idea that they could? They didn't get it from God or being created in the image of God, as so many churches try to say. Even though the law is good and right and holy, man, he grades on the curve. Well, I did pretty good here and I did pretty good there, so surely I'm good enough to go to heaven. No, to be able to go to heaven, you have to be, Jesus said, be ye therefore what?
Perfect.
And that word means perfect. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is what?
Perfect.
It's perfect. So, we're comparing here. Jesus is dealing with Jews under law. Jews who said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. And he's trying to teach them something about the law. In the fifth chapter, he already has told them, you want to go to heaven? I'm paraphrasing. All you have to do is, be ye therefore perfect. And perfect means perfect. Even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. Perfect isn't some stab at, morality, some stab at goodness. That's perfection. How can a fallen people make themselves perfect? They can't. The only way the Jews could be perfect, the only way that you or I can be deemed perfect, is by the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. God became a man through the virgin birth so that he could be a man without a sin nature, because all the blood that flows in the veins of the baby, you know, comes from his father, and God is the father of the Lord Jesus Christ. So he doesn't have the sin nature of Adam. And the sin nature of Eve could not be transmitted to him because all of the blood comes from the father. That's a very important fact that people will argue against. Oh, everybody knows that you're made up of chromosomes from this and that and so forth. And they get so scientific, they talk themselves right into hell. And the fact of the matter is, the medical industry knows it, that the blood that flows in our veins comes from our father. Therefore, God could be his father, and Jesus could be both God and man, but man without the very important thing that the whole human family has by birth, without a sin nature. Let me ask you something. Did you ever have to teach your child to be naughty? To throw a fuss when he doesn't get his way? Did you ever blame it on the neighbor kids? Well, sure, your kid's a good kid. No, your kid's teaching the neighbor kids as much crap as he can, and they're teaching him as much crap. What is it? People get upset about the word crap. What is crap? Well, there's a crap shoot with dice. I don't know what's so wrong with that word. Anyway, all right, let's come back to this now. When Eve looked at that tree, the devil was tempting her with morality. You can make yourself like God. And if you look at every religious system in the world, both inside and outside the canopy of Christianity. Now, inside the canopy of Christianity, we have the truth of salvation by grace through faith. But most of the churches under the canopy of Christianity put a great deal of emphasis upon your life. Well, it's better to be good than to be bad. But Jesus said to the Jews, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." Well, if you start out imperfect, how can you ever become perfect? By self-effort. It doesn't work. It doesn't happen in the natural world. And that certainly doesn't happen in the spiritual world. So he goes on then. He gave the nation a sign. And we've talked about this before in earlier messages. He says, as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a great fish. The way the world remembers Easter, there are not 3 days between Friday afternoon just before sunset and Sunday morning before dawn, because we never reach Sunday day. The Jews count their day from sunset to sunset. So we're in the night. And the day portion is when the sun rises. So we have 12 hours of darkness at the equator and 12 hours of light. Okay. And if you're north, depends on whether you're in the summer solstice or whatever. Okay. Now, what's necessary for heaven? Perfection. And the Jews had a system of thought that made them think that they were in fact perfect. So Jesus takes them back to an event which caused the fall of man in the Garden of Eden. He says, either make the tree good, and its fruit good, or make the tree corrupt, and its fruit corrupt. Now, in this natural world of ours, all we can bring forth fruit from is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You know, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. Now, don't get upset with me. I'm not saying it's better to be bad than to be good, you know. But your conduct will not make you fit for God's presence. It's salvation in Jesus Christ that makes you fit for God's presence. And the interesting thing about salvation in Jesus Christ, the scripture says to us, the moment we believe, you're dead. But I'm alive. I'm 90 and a half years old. You know? I'm going to die pretty soon. I don't know how soon. It'll be whenever the Lord has decided. You know? But 90 and a half years old, I'm already 20 years beyond 70, the allotted number of years. You know? So, nobody ever asked the question, what was in that tree that the devil tempted Eve with? It was a knowledge of good and evil. What is the knowledge of good and evil? It's man's concepts of right and wrong. What is every religious system in the world, and sadly, most of what was called Judaism and most of what is called Christianity, what's it based upon? Well, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. Yeah. And, yeah, is good behavior better than bad behavior? Sure. Bad behavior can send you to jail. Bad behavior can cause all kinds of problems. But can you be good enough to satisfy God, who is holy, in whom there is no sin at all? He can't even be in the presence of sin. No. That is the Father. Yeah. So we put that together. And Christian tradition, we're supposed to, you know, 3 days and three nights. There are not 3 days and three nights between Friday and Sunday before dawn. You know, nobody, doesn't seem to bother anybody. And then, you know, but Jesus had to be 72 hours in the grave, as Jonah was 72 hours in the grave. You know, it actually works out 3 nights and 3 days. But we're just speaking of the period of time. Christ was placed in the tomb at the beginning of Jewish Wednesday. If he made his triumphal entry on Friday and that Saturday was the Sabbath day at sunset, and we go back to the book of John, we find that Jesus came to Bethany 6 days before Passover, and the next day, now 6 days before Passover would take us all, if we count from Friday, it would take us all the way back to Friday, okay? And so it's 6 days before Passover, so we're not counting 7 days, we're only counting six. That's a Friday. And he came from Ephraim to Jericho, and from Jericho to Bethany. And then at Bethany, they made a dinner for him. And John uses Roman time, so we don't see the change. But Matthew, Mark, and Luke use Jewish time, and sunset is another day. So at sunset, it was the night of the 10th. Okay? And then the next day, tradition says he did that 6 days before Passover, and the next day he made his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Well, they call that Palm Sunday. Well, if the Lord made his entry into Jerusalem on Sunday, he violated the Sabbath. This is from Bethany to Jerusalem is a Sabbath day journey. Read the first chapter of Acts. But he traveled from Ephraim to Jericho, and from Jericho to Bethany, 6 days before Passover. If he did that, you know, Jesus certainly tested the Jewish concepts of the Sabbath day. But the triumphal entry on Sunday, Palm Sunday, yeah, I don't know how we get Palm Sunday out of it, but we do. It's because they spread palm leaves in the way, yeah. But that would be on Sunday, or on, or not. If that was on Sunday, he traveled on Saturday. What? Far more than a Sabbath day's journey. So tradition, again, makes our Lord a sinner. You know, he has to be 3 days and three nights. You know, they want Jesus to be born in December. It was, let's see, I can't remember his name. It began with a J.
Julius,
yeah. Julius the First, named the 25th of December, sometime in the 3rd century, as the date of the birth of Christ. But what was happening when Christ was born? The shepherds were watching their flock by night. They don't do that in the winter. In the winter, they're in the fold. When do the shepherds watch their flock by night? When the lambs are dropping their ewes. Or the ewes are dropping their lambs. I've got to get it right. Yeah. When do they do that? In the spring. We have a lot of sheep here in the Willamette Valley. The lambs are born in the spring. And why were the shepherds watching their flock? To protect those lambs. They would be dropped from the ewe. In a fold, they'd be trampled to death. Okay. So our tradition of Christmas, December 25th, it violates the scriptures. You know, our tradition of Easter Sunday, why did they pick Easter? It was a very popular pagan feast to the goddess of spring. That's why we have Easter bunnies. You know, fertility. You know, many not all animals, but many animals have their young in the spring. Okay. And so you put that all together. It's interesting how the world has gone beyond itself. And I'm not talking about the so-called unsaved world. I'm talking about the so-called saved world. The Roman Church, you know, all of the, virtually all of the denominations under the canopy of Christianity. They keep these traditions and do not realize that by their traditions, Jesus told them what the Jews did. You make the word of God of none effect by your tradition. See? So now let's go a little bit and catch up to where we were. So he had to be in the grave for 3 days and three nights. He had to be, you know, when we're talking about the tree, we're talking about the good tree is the tree of life. The bad tree is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And we get that straight, then scripture begins to make sense. Okay. And let's see, let's pick up at verse. While he yet talked to the people, verse 46, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. Then one said unto him, now this sounds very disrespectful. Then one said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without desire to speak with thee. At this point in time, his mother was saved, but his brothers and sisters were not. They didn't believe on him until after he rose from the dead. And so we're setting up a relationship here. Then one said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without desire to speak with thee. But he answered and said unto them that told him, who is my mother? And who are my brother? You're thinking in the natural, you know. But unless my mother believes on me as Savior, she's not my mother. Yeah. You know, she's just a woman, a lost woman. Now, she wasn't really lost. She was saved. You know, she was both his natural mother, you know, you know, our relationships become spiritual relationships. They're more important than natural relationships. We love our family, sure. We want our family to be safe. But we have to come to the realization, if they aren't saved, and how can we get them saved? Faith comes how? By hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, and by the what? The foolishness. What I've been doing for this last 45 minutes is being foolish. By the foolishness of preaching, the world considers it foolish. Think about it. The natural man doesn't understand the things of the Spirit of God. So why should I preach to the natural man, those that may be unsaved in our midst, for 45 minutes to get them saved when they can't understand what I'm saying? Well, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And the Spirit of God has to take the Word of God and quicken it, or make it alive to all of us. Happened to me when I was 21. That are dead in trespasses and sin. Yeah. And, it's an amazing thing, the best thing that ever happened to me. Now that I've studied the Word of God, I know I was chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. I don't know how God's elective purpose works, but I know that it's right and it's fair. You know, because it's of God, and God can't be anything but right and fair. You know? So, he says, who is my mother and who are my brethren? That sounds like he's being terribly disrespectful. He's teaching the nation of Israel. That's who this book is written to. He's teaching the nation of Israel. Your natural relationships count for nothing. When you were in Egypt, you were delivered by the blood of the Passover lamb. That speaks of our salvation. Then when you were in Sinai, you wanted to put yourself under the law. Moses read it to you. You heard it. And you said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. If you were honest with yourself, you would have said, all that the Lord has spoken is impossible for me to do. No man can get to God by his own efforts. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and what? Thou shalt be saved. I'm going to finish the chapter, and then we'll close. And who is my mother, and who are my brethren? He's not being disrespectful. He's teaching a spiritual truth. And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, behold, my mother and my brethren. I could stretch forth my hand and say, you are the mother and the brethren of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. For whosoever shall do the will, what's the will of God? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father, which is in heaven, the same is my mother and sister and brother. We do not have a relationship with God naturally. It has to come spiritually. It comes, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. When we believe, you know, those who hear His Word that believe on Him, they become His, you know, His family. We're born again, born into the family of God. And after we learn a little bit, we find that God chose us in Christ long before there was even the universe, from all eternity. And can we lose it? No. Can we, you know, why can't we lose it? People say, well, in order for you to be a good Christian, you need to try to keep the Sermon on the Mount. You need to try to keep the law. Is that true? No. Good behavior is better than bad behavior. But therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in God's sight. You know, and the Scripture says of it, you're dead. And your life, you know, is hid with Christ in God. When did you die? The moment you were born again, or born from above. The moment you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, God counts you to have died with Christ, to have been buried with Christ, and been raised with Christ to walk out in newness of life. What is the newness of life? The just, that's the saved, shall live how? By faith. by faith. So we see ourselves as having died with Christ, having been buried with Christ. We're not under the law. We're not trying to make ourselves fit for God's presence. Good behavior is better than bad behavior. But if we should say that we have no sin, what? We deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in it. So we're justified freely by God's grace. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Let's pray. Father, we praise you and thank you for the marvelous truth of your word. And we pray that you'll bless the truth of it to our hearts and minds, and that we'll recognize that there's no place for ego in our relationship with thee. Whether we preach, whether we teach, whatever our spiritual gifts are, they're activated by you in us, and then we get the reward for it, which we will cast at your feet at the judgment seat of Christ. We praise you and thank you for these marvelous truths from your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.